17 to Ephesians 5, verse 2. The reading is taken from the 2011 NIV version, slightly different than in your pew Bibles, but you can find it on 1226, or you can follow on the screen. Ephesians 4, 17 to 5, verse 2. Instructions for Christian living. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Bethel Church is a community that has a vision. We have summarized the vision of Bethel by the three words, gathering, growing, and going. And we've been looking at what that means, looking at scripture and thinking together about what that is beyond just the simple three words. We talked a couple of weeks ago about gathering, and we said what that means is that all of those whom the Lord has called to be part of the church are pulled together, and some of them come by way of evangelism. Some of us didn't know the gospel at all until someone told us and drew us, and we found ourselves part of this community. Some of us knew the word. We had been taught it maybe as a kid, but kind of fall away from it and go for often many years without having an active spiritual life or relationship with Christ, and it's been reignited and we're drawn back. Some of us were drawn, were gathered because we were born into Christian families and we were placed into this community from earliest days. Whatever, we were all gathered, and we want to be a church that is active in gathering people, if it's through evangelism or helping people to find their way back to the path of Christian faith, or by being a place where young families can be glad to be part of a community. We feel called to be God's agents in drawing people to himself. So we're gathering. We've also said, and this is what we talked about last week, we want to be a growing community. We're talking about all the different things that it means to be growing. Assuming that we have been gathered, how do we keep growing? And we talked about the different dimensions that we want to be growing into. Our identity as Christian people, growing in spiritual strength, growing in faith, growing in knowledge, growing in love. We talked about all these different dimensions, and we said that's true as a community. Bethel wants to be a community that is growing in strength and faith and knowledge, but even as individuals and even as families within the church, we want to be growing to be better and more exactly what God wants us ultimately to be. Now today, we're going to be focusing on the going word. What does it mean that Bethel is a going church? Well, before we really get that, let's think for a minute about what Bethel would be like if it was not a going church, if it was a church that was a stopping church. Well, I think we'd be totally insular. We'd be navel gazers, staring at our own belly buttons. Everything we did, everything we had, everything we dreamed about, everything we hoped for would be all about us. What makes us more comfortable? What makes us happier? What makes us more beautiful? We'd be totally about us, and therefore we would be a community totally irrelevant to anybody who is not a member. Because we would only be thinking inside and not at all outside. It's not that we'd say, well, we hate everybody else. We say we're just really not that interested. They can do their own thing. And as long as we don't annoy each other, then that's good. We're just about us. But that's not our vision. That's not our calling. That is not what we understand God wanting us to be and to do. He does not want us to be a country club. He wants us to be a missional community that is focused on His desire for us and for the world. Bethel is a church that is committed to that third word in our vision statement. We are going. It's our calling and our commission. We're familiar with the words of Jesus. Remember the story when he was right at the end. He had been to the cross. He had died on the cross. He'd been in the grave. He'd been raised from the dead. He spent time with his disciples, teaching and say, okay, now that I've been victorious, now that I have paid the price for sin, now that you have hope in me by the grace of God, he gave them this deeper, wonderful teaching and explanation of what his expectation was. Then he led them all up to a mountainside, and he said this. He said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, he said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the Great Commission. And when we read it, okay, what is it? Well, baptizing. We've got to be baptizing people into the church. We have to be teaching them about all the things that it means to be a Christian. But we don't think about that word, go. Baptizing and teaching and all that stuff is subordinate to the verb go. It's as you are going. that you are baptizing. It's as you are going that you are teaching. And we must not forget that the word that Jesus gave to us is, I want you to go. Don't sit on your rear ends. Don't be irrelevant to the community and the world that I have placed you in. Don't let yourself be walled into a building, or don't be walled into an ideology that prevents you from making a difference in the world, that prevents you from touching people and blessing people and guiding people and showing them the better way, which is the way of Christ. Now, we can't talk about going without talking about a companion word, which is transformation. I think transformation is one of my favorite biblical and theological words. I think gospel equals transformation. It says in Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it goes on, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform means totally change. That you were one thing and you're changed in every way into something better. You were people who were enemies of God, totally alienated from him. And now you are the children of God, brought into his family. You were people who were under the devil's sway, who were living and acting and thinking in ways that were contrary to the will of God and pleasing to the enemy of everything that's good. And now you are a spiritual person filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be in tune with the Spirit of God, with God himself. You have been transformed from people who think about ourselves first, others occasionally, God not at all, into people who now think about God first, others always, and ourselves last. Our priorities, our longings, are switched. It's not all about getting rich and getting comfortable and getting famous. It's about giving glory to God, about doing his will, letting his kingdom break out among us. And that is a transformation that we say, that we believe, and that we are demonstrating has happened in us. How are we transformed? By the Holy Spirit. We're not transformed because we suddenly decide we want to. We are transformed because the Holy Spirit comes upon us like it did on that crowd on the day of Pentecost. And the work of the Spirit is transformation. Through the victory of Christ, because of his victory, his grace is extended to us that we can experience his victory as well. That we can be like him because of the marvel of all that he is and has done. By the will of the Father, we are transformed. And as the Bible says so eloquently and so powerfully, and this is not of yourself. This isn't your doing. It's not your smart. It's not your energy. It's the gift of God, so that none of us boast in our salvation. We're not a proud people. We're not an arrogant people. We know the truth. We try to live the truth. We try to go in the truth. And we always say, but glory to God. Because he is the one who has accomplished all good things for us. And we do any good thing because of his empowering. You know, it's transformed people who go, who have a vision for impacting every square inch of God's beloved but much battered creation. We go with redemptive and transformative action as the Spirit enables us. So, this begs the question. We say we're supposed to go. Well, where are we supposed to go? Where do we go as the disciples of Christ? I feel the need to channel Johnny Cash. We go everywhere, man. Well, we go to our jobs. Whether it's at the farm or at the office or at the hospital, we go to our schools. Whether it's an elementary school where we're a student or a secondary or college or university or grad school, we go as Jesus people. We go into our neighborhoods and we live in our neighborhoods as the transformed people of God. And we talk to our neighbors as people who have experienced the grace of God. We go to the mall. And we go to Sobeys. And we go to Costco. And every other store. Not as just anybody. But we go into all these places as disciples of Christ. We are going. When we're at the playground, when we're at the beach, when we're hanging out at the cottage, when we're on the cruise ship, whatever, we are going. We don't leave our identity as Christians behind when we're in any of these places. We go to be disciples. When we're driving down the highway or hiking along a trail, when we're on planes, trains, or automobiles, in the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the TV room, we are people who are going. And what do? In all these places where we go, we are people who live and act and talk and think like transformed disciples of Christ. So we speak and live and act and talk respectfully of others. Because it is our faith, it is the revelation we've been given that each one of us have been made in the image of God. And every single person that you encounter is someone that is worthy of respect and needs to be treated appropriately like an image bearer of God. That is something a lot of people don't understand and don't look at each other that way. We're to be loving. We're thoughtful. We are to be honest and kind. As people who are going, when we see someone who is vulnerable, when we see somebody who is weak, when we see somebody who is marginalized or disadvantaged, we say, we want to stand with you because we know that our Lord came for all of us who were disadvantaged by sin, and he welcomed us into his family. So how can we say to anybody, particularly those who struggle with, with burdens that are heavy upon them, or that are, you know, set aside by society. See, we're not going to set anybody aside. We'll even go particularly to them so that we can be the grace of God for them. We want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident as we are going. In every place that we travel to, every place that we visit, we say we want the love and the joy and the self-control and the kindness and the gentleness, all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit, to be evident in us so that they can be experienced in every place that we go. And when the time is right and the opportunity arrives, we will share the reason for the hope that lies within us in ways that are not arrogant or off-putting, gentle but truthful and clear. See, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I go to church because I believe that Jesus is Lord. Yeah, not to be a jerk about it, but I found something really powerful and beautiful and good and true. And I think you should know that that is my experience. And I would love it if that could be your experience too. We are transformed and we go for a purpose. The revelation of the victory of God and the ongoing transformation of every part of creation. We've been transformed by the Lord, by the gospel of peace. And we are transformed to be agents of transformation with everything and everyone that crosses our paths. It's our privilege when we go that we will see the kingdom of God breaking out around us. And we will hear the Lord receiving the glory. So why go? Why bother going? Why not, you know, make this a country club? Why not make this a place of stopping and resting and just doing what we feel like for ourselves? Because God does not get glory from that. Say, we want Him to be praised. Here at Bethel, we are committed to being a growing, gathering, and going community of disciples. Here at Bethel, we are going to go out, and we are going out into every area, every sector of our society, and seeking the transformation of all, because it's good for our neighbor, because it brings praise to our Redeemer. And God brings blessings to us too when we are obedient. So, gathering, growing, and going. That's what we're about. Praise God. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. It's a big vision. It's a tremendous calling. And when we hear it and we think about it, it can feel overwhelming. Lord, I don't know if I'm up to being your representative at work. I don't know if I'm up to it and on the playground. I don't know if I can be your disciple in all these places that I go, but we know that your Spirit is with us. And we are convicted of the fact that you will not abandon us as we try to be your faithful servants. So we will go. And we will seek to be obedient. And we look forward to what you will accomplish through us. Amen.